College English Test Band 4 Part 2 Listening Comprehension Section A Directions In this section, you will hear three news reports. At the end of each news report, you will hear two or three questions. Both the news report and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
News Report 1. A terrified cat has survived a 5-mile round trip under the engine cover of a car on a school run. The black cat was found curled up under the engine cover of David King's car when he decided to do an oil check after dropping his grandson off at school in Kent. Mr. King's wife said her husband had come running in and was shouting for me to come have a look. We weren't even sure it was alive, so I gently pushed it with a stick to check it was breathing and saw it was a terrified little cat. It reversed even further into the engine and was stuck. I tried to reach it, but it was too far down, and there wasn't any way I could get it out. Following a rescue by UK charity Cats Protection, the 4-year-old cat was later reunited with its owner, Mr. King's neighbor.
Questions 1 and 2 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 1. Where was the black cat found? Question 2. What do we learn about the cat at the end of the news report? News Report 2. In less than a month, the Special Olympics Spring Games will make a return to Fayetteville. The Games are coming back for the first time in 5 years. The event will take place at Methodist University. Event organizer Benjamin Kowalczyk says he's excited that athletes will get a chance to come back and demonstrate their abilities. Organizers expect about 100 athletes will come out to compete in Fayetteville. They will have a variety of events to choose from, including running, throwing, and jumping. There will also be a fun tent for children. Kowalczyk said it's rewarding to see athletes with special needs triumph in the Games. For anyone who wants to help make this year's Games a massive success, there are still opportunities to volunteer for Fayetteville's Special Olympics. Organizers encourage them to visit the Games website to sign up. Questions 3 and 4 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 3. What will Fayetteville witness in less than a month? Question 4. What did Benjamin Kowalczyk say is rewarding to see?
News Report 3. A German supermarket has been ordered to destroy its chocolate rabbits after it lost a court battle with a Swiss chocolate manufacturer. The Swiss firm had argued its gold-wrapped chocolate rabbit deserved copyright protection from a similar product sold by the budget supermarket. Switzerland's highest court agreed and overturned a ruling last year by the country's commercial court that had sided with the supermarket. It ordered that all the imitation rabbits be destroyed, but suggested the chocolate needn't be wasted. It could be melted for use in other products. It said even though there are some differences between the two products, there was still the possibility of confusion for consumers. The Swiss manufacturer's rabbit has a red bow and bell, while the German supermarket's has a green bow and bell. The color of the wrapper is similar, as are the illustrations of the features. The chocolate company has been to court before to protect its popular chocolate treat. Last year, a German federal court said the shade of the gold wrapping was also protected.
Questions 5 to 7 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 5. What has the German supermarket been ordered to do? Question 6. What did Switzerland's highest court suggest about the chocolate in question? Question 7. Why did Switzerland's highest court overturn the commercial court's ruling? Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear two long conversations. At the end of each conversation, you will hear four questions. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Conversation 1.
Can you please hand me that book over there? It has instructions for making a winter bean salad. My sister's boyfriend is coming over for dinner. He's vegetarian, so I need to make a lot of vegetable dishes.
He only eats vegetables, no meat? That doesn't sound like a very balanced diet. How can he get enough protein? What does he do to strengthen his muscles and all that?
Apparently, that's no problem. He's explained this to me when we first met. He eats a variety of different vegetables and nuts, especially those with high amounts of protein.
It sounds a bit difficult, but he's done his research, I suppose. What's his reasoning for being vegetarian? Is it his religion, health condition, or lifestyle?
He's an animal activist. He's always been very sensitive and sympathizes with animals. He's even written to his state senator about the torture of dolphins in sea parks. He says that keeping animals in zoos and parks causes them great distress.
That's a little gloomy, but I can understand that to a point. Not all zoos and animal parks have the most favorable conditions. But without them, it just wouldn't be feasible to learn about animals and their environments. Besides, I don't think I could ever give up a good hot dog at a baseball game.
Honestly, I agree. But just don't let him hear you say that. He's the spokesperson for his local animal rights group.
Questions 8 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 8. What does the man request the woman to do? Question 9. What does the woman say about eating vegetables only? Question 10. Why does the boyfriend of the man's sister choose to be a vegetarian? Question 11. On what point does the man agree with the woman at the end of the conversation?
Conversation 2.
Did you see that television program on air travel last night?
Yes. The part about overcoming jet lag was interesting. I was surprised that the expert recommended not eating for the entire journey and avoiding sleeping on the plane.
I was too, as I read an article on the subject in the past that suggested the opposite. It claimed that it was important not to miss meals, and that taking a nap on the plane was the best way to adjust to a new time zone.
Well, the expert on the show did cite research supporting her recommendations, so I guess I'll give it a try next time I fly a long distance. Jet lag is a big problem for me, and has been for the last few years, even though I never suffered from it before.
Well, she did say that jet lag often becomes more of a problem after 40. So I guess I'm lucky that I can still adjust to different time zones well. My problem is I'm afraid to fly.
Oh, I didn't know that. Actually, my mother is terrified of airplanes to the point where she can't even fly. So our family vacations were always by car or train.
I'm not as bad as that. I just get anxious before I fly and feel nervous the whole time we're in the air. Which is why I was hoping the television program would cover that topic more than it did.
Yeah, that segment was too brief, especially as so many people have that problem. She said 20% of people are afraid to fly.
Actually, it was a quarter of people, so the problem really is widespread and deserves attention.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 12. What part of the TV program does the man say was interesting? Question 13. What does the man say he will do next time he flies a long distance? Question 14. Why does the woman think she is lucky? Question 15. Why does the woman think the problem of being afraid to fly deserves attention?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear three passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear three or four questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. The most common question I'm asked always centers around how to get started in user experience design, to which my response is always that nothing can substitute real-world experience. Building the skills required of a user experience designer takes time, patience, and commitment. Higher education is a great way to equip yourself with some core skills, but it will not prepare you for actual challenges you'll face with clients' work. In other words, being proficient with a design tool and a few methods doesn't make you a user experience designer. There simply isn't a one-size-fits-all process. Being effective requires adaptability, something you don't really learn in school, much less in a 6-month training camp. It's gained through experience on the job and learning what's appropriate given the needs of the project. I found my way to user experience through graphic design, and slowly, over many different roles and experiences, that led me to become a user experience designer. It took time and commitment to continue to pursue roles within teams that I knew could teach and challenge me. That's not to say that I think my path is the only one. But once again, nothing can substitute real-world experience. You can start anywhere, as long as you know your end goal, and you commit to actively pursuing opportunities to learn and grow along the way.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16. What does the speaker think is the best way to get started in user experience design? Question 17. What does the speaker say being effective requires? Question 18. What can people do as long as they know their end goal and strive for it? Passage 2. When planning for this year, our principal asked what needed to change to engage students more in their learning. I responded in a whisper, "Flexible seating," thinking about our then current classroom. It had rows of desks with blue chairs and nameplates, reminding each student where they should be sitting. This began a journey to transform our practice and challenge the ways of learning for a group of Year 6 students used to sitting in desks and rows for years. Flexible seating has been defined as movable furniture to create an engaging learning environment. It is a shift in practice from being teacher-focused to student-focused learning. For us, flexible seating has meant removing most of the traditional chairs and desks and introducing a variety of different seating options to promote student engagement. The use of rows and their minimal adaptations to U-shape were traditionally intended to maximize on-task behavior and reduce distraction from the teacher. Teachers tend to still use this format because of either the need to control students or the belief that the teacher is the most important person in the room. Now, our students have a range of different seating options, including a floor desk, couches, stools, bean bags, and the traditional desk and chair. From our experience so far, flexible seating enhances student ownership of space and engagement in learning, while reducing rates of student disengagement and disciplinary actions. It is a win for all concerned.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19. Why did the school principal ask what needed to change? Question 20. What has flexible seating meant at the speaker's school? Question 21. What has flexible seating brought about at the speaker's school? Passage 3. Dozens of British students arriving for their first day of school on Tuesday were sent home over their shoes. About 30 students were turned away from Taverham High School in Norfolk, England. Headteacher Dr. Roger Harris confirmed that this was due to a change in the school's uniform policy. Harris, who became headteacher this year, said he notified parents of the updated rules in an email in June. The price of school uniforms can spark panic among families struggling with the high cost of living. Nearly all British schools have uniforms. They cost parents an average of £337 per year for each secondary school child. According to the new rules, students of Taverham are required to wear smart black shoes appropriate for the workplace. Harris held that strengthened rules around school uniforms improved student outcomes and behaviour. But for some parents, the school's restrictions are an unnecessary burden. As annual inflation climbs over 10%, many households are on tight budgets. Private rental prices in Britain rose 3.2% over the 12 months to July 2022, the largest jump since 2016. Soaring energy bills have made things worse. Lucinda May, mum of a Taverham student, said that she had to ask her parents for £65 to buy her child the correct pair of shoes. May said that the school's uniform policy showed a lack of regard for parents dealing with the high cost of living.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 22. Why were dozens of British students sent home on Tuesday? Question 23. What can the price of school uniforms spark among families in financial difficulty? Question 24. What did the head teacher think of the school's new uniform rules? Question 25. What did Lucinda May have to do to buy her child the correct pair of shoes?
That's the end of listening comprehension.